Jane Kirtley is a professor of media ethics at the Hubbard School of Journalism at the University of Minnesota. Hi, Jane. I hope you're doing well.
Good morning, John. I'm doing great.
Is Minnesota having unseasonably warm weather also?
We are at the moment, but it's supposed to change overnight. They're saying we might even get a little snow tomorrow. I don't believe it, but that's what they're saying.
We're all due for cooler weather, although I'm not complaining. Jeff Bezos now says presidential endorsements do nothing to tip the scales of an election. What presidential endorsements actually do is create a perception of bias, a perception of non-independence. Ending them is a principled decision, and it is the right one. Others have called it cowardice and a craven attitude by them abdicating what some people say is a responsibility to, especially in this election, put your marker down. Who should be president? Ditto Chicago Tribune, LA Times, and others. And what do you make of all this, Jane?
Cowardice, I think, is the word I would use. If you're going to be a major news organization's owner, I think you have an obligation to help to guide public understanding. Obviously, what the Washington Post or the New York Times or the Chicago Tribune chooses to do in terms of endorsement probably will not influence all that many votes, but it's a statement of where you stand. And I'd like to think you stand for democracy. That's not being biased. And, you know, one of the things that Bezos wrote in his little piece that was published yesterday, or that somebody wrote for him, was he said that I'm not an ideal owner of the Washington Post, and I will certainly second that. I think he was initially because he kept hands off from the newsroom side, but stepping in to stop an endorsement that had already been written by the editorial board, to me, that's just unconscionable. If he had wanted to adopt this policy, he should have done it several months ago. Now it just looks self-serving.
He said, I wish we'd made that call earlier. That was inadequate planning, but was not an intentional strategy. The suggestion implicit in all this is that while his company, Blue Origin, the spacefaring company, might need regulatory help from the next administration, they're soft-pedaling their views so as to court Trump's favor. I get that. He denies that.
He does deny that. He claims he was blindsided. I suppose people can decide for themselves how credible that is. But, you know, I'm sure you talked about on your show last summer, when the Supreme Court ruled in Snyder versus United States that a gratuity is okay, but not a bribe. And you're left, I'm afraid, with the impression here that Mr. Bezos is making sure he's hedging his bets. He wants to make sure he doesn't irritate a future Trump administration, especially when some of his interests, as you mentioned, Blue Origin, are looking to get government contracts. That's a conflict of interest. I think he even acknowledges that. It's really a problem.
That doesn't explain all the newspapers that are backing away this time.
It does not. And I think, you know, the paper right here in Minneapolis, which is now called the Minnesota Star Tribune, announced last fall that it was not going to endorse in the presidential elections. There's a lot of this going around. One common link between them is that they are newspapers that have been acquired in the not too distant past by multi-million to billionaire investors who, you know, I don't know what their motives are, whether this is just a hobby for them or if it really is an attempt to try to consolidate their power. But what it does tell me is that they don't have a very clear picture of the role of what a newspaper ought to be doing.
Right.
And that's just where I come down on this, that they've got lots of money, but not the experience and context to understand the role that a newspaper really can play in a community.
Alden Global Capital, which owns many of these papers we're talking about, including the Chicago Tribune, and almost owned this radio station, does have a conservative bent to it. But I think either way, the principle is it the position of these newspapers of record or media outlets of record to take a position on an issue, particularly this one? Now, give me your last thought about that, Jane.
I think it is important for news organizations to do that, not because I think that they will turn the election one way or the other, but because they have a stake in democracy that is perhaps unique. First Amendment is so important to what they do. They ought to be standing up and being counted on this point.
Broadcast media doesn't seem to fall into this trap. We, as a radio station, have never endorsed candidates. I don't know that NBC does, for instance. I think we know how CNN or Fox News feel about it, but I wonder what the difference is.
I think, and I could be wrong about this, but I think that this is, frankly, a legacy of the Fairness Doctrine and is still associated with the rules on election coverage and also on advertising. I think broadcasters have shied away from expressing points of view, and I don't have a problem with that because that, again, has not really been their legacy.
8147 says, John, newspapers not endorsing presidential candidates is a good business decision. Newspapers are already suffering from lower subscriptions. The next text says, John, I used to depend on the editorial, as I felt these people knew a lot more than I did. I'm really disappointed. That's it. I've always assumed that even if I don't agree with the Tribune, I think they know more about stuff than I do. So I'd like to know what they think, especially down ballot issues.
I think that's right. And of course, even the Washington Post and the Minnesota Star Tribune have been endorsing in more local elections. They're saying that they think they're more credible in that sense. But that tells you that an endorsement in principle is not the problem. It's this particular endorsement that they don't want to do. And I understand this argument about business decisions, but honestly, as of yesterday, the Washington Post had lost about 8% of its subscriber base. It's probably more now. None of that is going to bankrupt Mr. Bezos, of course, and as some have suggested, if you really want to get his attention, Amazon and Whole Foods might be the place to register your disapproval. Yeah. But, you know, I just think it's a conception about what the role of a news organization should be. I understand sometimes people don't understand the difference between the editorial side and the news side, but come on, if you have a point of view, this is the bully pulpit and you ought to be using it.
1058, that's Jane Kirtley, a professor of media ethics in Minnesota. Always nice to hear your voice, Jane. Thank you.
My pleasure, John. Take care.